In 1912, Japan was facing a bit of a naval quandary. She'd managed to carve out a place among the larger navies of the world by building a medium-sized but powerful fleet of pre-dreadnoughts, then defeating the Russians, who historically had been the third largest fleet of steel battleships, and they'd taken a bunch of those Russian ships to compensate for the war losses they'd suffered. After that, the Imperial Japanese Navy had come up with a number of innovative designs to try and compensate for the still relatively limited capacity of the Japanese shipbuilding industry. Ships such as the Tsukuba and Ibuki class of armoured cruisers, which might be best described as pre-dreadnought battle cruiser equivalents. But the subsequent rise of the dreadnought had left the Japanese Navy trailing once again. The big jump in size and armament that these new battleships represented meant Japanese industry was simply unable to keep up. While they'd just about been able to come up with a first-generation dreadnought in the Kawachi class after the semi-dreadnoughts of the Satsumas, the IJN had had to go back to ordering from abroad for the first of their new Kongo-class battlecruisers, with battleship production in the late 1900s being somewhat slow, partially just due to simple budgetary reasons, and partially to allow Japanese yards to be upgraded to be able to build the later units of the Kongo class and subsequently the Fuso class super dreadnoughts. Enter one Hidetaro Kaneda, a Japanese naval officer who'd fought in the Sino-Japanese and Russo-Japanese wars and specialised in gunnery. Although he was not a ship designer himself, by 1912 he was the chief gunnery instructor at the Naval Artillery School, and he realised that, compared to Britain or Germany, who were laying down 4, 5, or even in one case 8 capital ships per year, or even the US, which was ticking along nicely at 2 per year, the Japanese capital ship building capacity, which was averaging 2 ships every 2 years, was never going to keep up, and the country would probably bankrupt itself even trying. And so he decided to go with another concept entirely, proposing to build just one massive doom fortress at sea. Then he would arm it with as many guns as he could fit, and you would have a single, albeit massive, investment for a one-ship fleet. Its sheer size would make it almost impossible to sink, and it would have so much firepower that it was pretty unlikely that anything with the firepower to even scratch the thing would survive long enough to do all that much damage in any case. But how big should big be? Kaneda started with a basic principle. In order to keep the ship as steady a gun platform as possible, as well as to reduce some of the stresses, it needed to be larger than the maximum wavelength of waves found in the Pacific. Now, this was easy enough to do lengthwise. Quite a number of ships were already longer than this. But he wanted to also do this across the beam. If it was wide enough that even being broadside onto the waves, dangerous at best and death-dealing at worst for most ships, would not present much issue to the ship, then the vessel would act more like an island with the waves breaking against it, and any roll would therefore be minimal. And so, after a little bit of research and a bit of calculation, he arrived at the figure of 91 metres maximum beam, or about 300 feet, which was equivalent to around about 3 contemporary super dreadnoughts all side by side with a large destroyer or two tacked on against them for good measure. To get a decent length-to-beam ratio, somewhere between 6 to 1 and 7 to 1, he then worked out that the ship would be about 609 metres or 2,000 feet long. Those dimensions, incidentally, are about half again longer and wider than the very biggest cargo ships in service today. For armament, he chose the biggest guns that were then theoretically available, thus giving the ship an armament of no less than 100 16-inch 45-caliber guns in 50 twin mounts, 14 of them on the center line, and 18 more on either side. Given the sheer scale of the ship, these guns could, in theory, be relatively easily upgraded to even bigger ones as time went on. Hundreds of secondary guns were also included, 140mm or 5.5-inch guns in long gun galleries on either side of the hull, and either more 140mm guns or possibly 100mm or 4-inch guns in the superstructure. Which calibre is there depends on your source. And yes, that is depending on source, as so little is firmly known about the concept that a number of key figures are disputed in the minimal number of vaguely reliable sources on this subject, and that includes disputes over the dimensions. I've given you the dimensions that most of the sources talk about, but some claim that the length and beam figures were actually twice that, which would move the ship's dimensions from roughly the same length as a Galaxy-class starship like the Enterprise-D up to something more akin to the Venator-class Star Destroyers from Revenge of the Sith. Hundreds of torpedo launchers would also be installed, and the half-million-ton ship, again assuming the more pedestrian size requirements, would supposedly, somehow, be able to make 42 knots thanks to an unknown but presumably staggering number of boilers connected to who knows how many screws. With a crew of around 12,000 and a travel time of at least 10 minutes going fore to aft at a brisk walk, one of the potential future hazards would actually be small portions of the ship declaring independence after being ignored for too long. Of course, there was no facility in existence capable of building something even close to that size, unless you built it in about 20 to 30 small cross-section sliced modules in dry docks and then floated those out one by one, somehow assembling the entire thing offshore. And so the design remained a passing concept, albeit one which remains so implausible that many, understandably, doubt it was ever really a historical idea in the first place when they're first presented with it.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.